it's your world. Motivate, change, succeed. VoiceAmericaEmpowerment.com.
The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Empowerment Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit VoiceAmericaEmpowerment.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit VoiceAmerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Do you ever feel stuck on a hamster wheel, constantly running but getting nowhere? The secret is actually quite simple. When you fall in love with yourself, everything else falls into place. Personally and professionally. It's time to get unstuck, reclaim your personal power, and recapture your zest for living. Now, here's your host, Deborah Jane Wells.
Hello, this is Deborah Jane Wells, life coach and Reiki master. Thanks for tuning in to our show. Today's theme is You Can Make a Living Following Your Bliss. I'm pleased to welcome today's guest, Jeanette Cazella. Jeanette's two great passions are spirituality and creativity. Each day, she supports individual and world peace through 3 hours of transcendental meditation in the company of 2,000 fellow practitioners in her community of Fairfield, Iowa. Everything else in her life fits around that commitment. She has earned a living as a freelance fine artist, web designer, and graphic artist. Her online products include flashcards, home study courses, digital and print books. She is the author of Money Mindset Makeover. Jeanette's passion for helping others led to a certification in spiritual life coaching. While mentoring other coaches, she saw a need to enhance their business skills, sense of community, and connection with potential clients, culminating in creating the International Association of Professional Life Coaches. The IAPLC offers an online directory, bi-monthly masterclasses, opportunities for publishing and speaking, and other business resources for life coaches.
Hello, Deborah.
It's wonderful to be here.
It's great to have you. As a life coach and Reiki master, I help people who are stuck in the hamster wheel approach to life, trapped by fear and the mistaken belief that busyness is the same as purpose. They can't stand the way they're living, but feel powerless to stop. Each week on this show, my guests and I share a more fulfilling alternative. Instead of choosing to live as a victim of circumstance, embrace the transformative power of loving yourself unconditionally. Choosing to fuel yourself with constructive core energy based in love, respect, curiosity, compassion, and gratitude produces a life of generous, effortless, gracious flow filled with faith, hope, prosperity, peace, and joy. Your experience shifts from victim to victory, break down to breakthrough. Choosing love as your core energy changes everything. Your perceptions, opportunities, relationships, and priorities. When love transforms your relationship with yourself, it can't help but transform your personal life, your work, and the world. Jeanette's own life is an inspiring example of the transformation that's possible when you shift from fueling yourself with fear to fueling yourself with unconditional self-love. So, Jeanette, what misery-making melodrama did choosing fear and the hamster wheel create for you? And how did learning to choose love change your life?
Well, Deborah, I think that the misery-making melodrama for me was always around money. And it was sort of a fearful relationship. And there's sort of a little history that I can go through to tell you about how I went from being sort of the starving artist syndrome to being a successful entrepreneur.
That'd be great.
So, well, as you said in your introduction, my commitment has always been to be in a supportive spiritual environment. And so I started out in Washington, D.C., where there was a group of meditators there. And I was a freelance artist, so I've always pretty much been a freelance artist, painting and landscape oils. And I had a little business doing pen and ink drawings of houses in Washington, D.C., and just painting on the side. And it was going door to door, getting orders. I can't even believe I did that. And then sitting outside and drawing the houses. And I was sort of combining my love of the outdoors with drawing and doing my creativity. It was very hard on my back sitting out there drawing. And so it was difficult physically. And I didn't really like living in a big city either. It was just not for me. I grew up in a small town, pretty much like the one that I'm in now. And also, I was in a marriage that was very congenial, but not really very fulfilling, and just not compatible enough. So my husband and I decided to take a little break, and we both were very spiritually oriented, so we decided to go to India. And he studied music, and I traveled around visiting all the different shrines and sacred places in India, just to sort of really dive back into spirit to see what I should do with my life. And when we returned 2 years later, we decided that we were ready to move on, and we called it our graduation from our marriage, and because we were still very congenial. And I moved halfway across the country to be in an even larger community here in Fairfield, Iowa. And I also changed my career. Instead of drawing houses, I learned how to draw houses on the computer through a pretty complicated software program called AutoCAD. And so, that was
so
that was
there
my,
you
that there was my you, first introduction to the computer world.
Yeah. So I want to stop there for a moment because it's an amazing story. I mean, you had this commitment to spirituality and so obviously committed to creativity, not just because you tell me you're a fine artist and became a graphic designer, but because even in the way you went about that first stage of your life, first of all, going door to door is not for the faint of heart. Going door to door to sell personal professional services of the sort you were selling is really not for the faint of heart. So obvious to me how much courage you have and how much commitment you have to creativity. And then if you look at the decision you made around recognizing that living in a big city was not for you, that really oh, by the way, that your major relationship, while it was congenial, that there were things about it that weren't quite what you wanted. That even how you went about your separation and divorce is creative, because who goes off to India with their now husband so the two of them can pursue a separation halfway across the world and find themselves and figure out where they want to go so they can then come back and execute the plan? So amazing, truly amazing. And so you came back and ended up deciding to go to Iowa and to pursue graphic design on the computer. So talk with us about why Iowa.
Well, I had lived there before. When we first got married, we were in Iowa because that's where he had graduated from college. It's a Maharishi International University was here. And so I knew that I felt more comfortable there, that I really didn't even want to move to Washington, D.C., but I went with my husband. So that was the logical place to go back to. I had a lot of friends there. And also, there was this supportive community of meditators. So that was the big reason, because I, after coming back from India too, it was like, oh, you know, I really enjoyed being in the sacred communities over there, that which we call ashrams, and that Fairfield, Iowa was sort of like a Western version of a sacred community ashram type environment. You know, people, everyone leaves their job at the 5 o'clock to go meditate together. So it was just something that I had experienced a little bit and wanted, and decided that, yeah, that's my lifestyle.
So there you were in Fairfield, Iowa, with a whole bunch of like-minded spirits, 2,000 of them. And you also shifted from the focus on fine art with your hands, at least in how you were going to earn a living, to moving into graphic design. So you moved into graphic design, and then what happened?
Yes, so it was kind of like recreating my life. New location, new job. So I learned how to do that. I learned several. I ended up learning about 8 different software programs because I just loved it so much. I just took to it like a duck takes to water.
Yeah.
And I ended up getting a job. The first job ended, and so I got a second job doing just drawings on the computer for a company that was selling gift baskets. And I saw how much fun the graphic artists were having designing the labels and everything, and I wanted to do that. So I started taking an online 2-year certification program in graphic and web design so that I could also become a web designer. I was sort of fascinated with that. And so I was working on, you know, every time off I had, taking these classes and learning more about that, and also realizing that I am not an employable type person. I was very uncomfortable in a work environment. You know, I've been a freelance artist my whole life, so it was obvious that I didn't belong there, and I stuck it out as long as I could until I was ready to go off on my own with my graphic and web design business.
And so how long was that?
Well, that was about 2 years. And it was also during that time period that I met my future husband, who's now my second husband. And so it all happened pretty fast, actually.
It's funny how when we get in alignment with what's working for us, that things manifest really quickly.
Yes, and I also found my dream home, so I had gotten into that right before I met my current husband. And so then I just broke off with the company I was working for and started going on my own, and that seemed to fit much better. And the next few years were spent trying to get those businesses off the ground and also trying to do a couple other things, just to get some money coming in so that that would pay the bills. And I still had this thing with money. It was like it still was really hard to make a living. And it's funny that we titled this what we did, because I would always shake my fist at the universe and say, I thought it was supposed to be easy to follow your bliss and make money.
So what do you so there you were, still wrestling in your relationship with money. Interesting that you had recognized the challenges and the opportunities in your relationship with your first husband and pursued those so creatively and so lovingly and compassionately, when I hear you talk about it, in terms of how you recognized it and then managed your way through it. Now, here you had this other relationship. It wasn't with a human being. It was with an energy. You know, because to me, money is just another form of energy. And it's a relationship that so many of us have. You know, it's one of our most challenging relationships. Even, by the way, people who have lots of money flowing in often have very distrusting relationships, very problematic relationships with money. You know, we expect that that will be true for those who are struggling to make ends meet. But I find in the clients that I coach that it can be just as true for the people who have it, who've never really had to worry about money from the time they, you know, came out of the birth canal. So here you were recognizing that you had yet another relationship that bore some examination and some adjusting. And we have just a minute before we take our break. So just cue us up for what we're going to talk about after the break.
Well, after the break, I want to share how I had to dive in a second time into spirit to figure out what was wrong and what to do about it.
And it's going to be intriguing as you get to hear how Jeanette took everything she'd already learned about spirit, about trusting the universe, and about relationships and how to build healthy ones. And then she turned around and applied it to her relationship with money. But right now, we're going to take a short break and we'll be back in 2 minutes.
Find out what makes the most successful people tick. Keep listening to the Voice America Empowerment Channel. VoiceAmericaEmpowerment.com.
Inspired by today's show? Visit Deborah at DJWLifeCoach.com and click on the Current Offers tab to access her proven life coaching programs and tools. Everything from her signature workbooks and videos to entertaining and inspiring blogs and newsletters. You'll even have the opportunity to sign up for a 60-minute complimentary coaching session. If someone offered you a precious gift for an hour of your time, would you be interested? That's what Deborah offers in a comp session. It isn't a brief demo or sample. It's a full 45-minute coaching session focused on your current real-life challenges, plus 15 minutes to discuss any questions you may have about her approach. Those who've experienced Deborah's comp sessions will tell you that when you show up fully committed to your own growth and open to the possibilities for transformation, big breakthroughs happen. What have you got to lose other than your fears and limiting beliefs? Visit the Current Offers tab on DJWLifeCoach.com. Choose your energy and change your life.
Friend us on Facebook to keep up with what's empowering the world. Voice America Empowerment.
You are listening to Choose Your Energy, Change Your Life with Deborah Jane Wells. If you have a question or comment for the program today, please call us toll free at 888-346-9141. That's 888-346-9141. Or you may send an email to Deborah at DJWLifeCoach.com. Now, back to Choose Your Energy, Change Your Life.
Hi, everyone. This is Deborah again. Welcome back to our show with my guest, Jeanette Cazella. In the previous segment, we discussed how choosing to fuel ourselves with fear-based core energy creates misery in our lives, and how choosing to fuel ourselves with love creates a life of generous, effortless, gracious flow instead. Jeanette shared with us how she worked through understanding what she wanted to do with her life and how to honor her commitment to spirituality and creativity, how to make her primary relationship in life fulfilling. And as we got to the break, we were about to go into talking with Jeanette about a second relationship in her life, which she realized needed some work. So Jeanette, let's pick up where we left off and talk with us about how you revitalized and just totally transformed your relationship with money.
Yes, well, I realized that, you know, something was wrong. This was happening again. You know, money problems plagued the first marriage, and I didn't want it to happen with the second one. And so I started studying about the spiritual laws of money, you know, the law of attraction. The Secret had just come out, and I was very excited to hear all of that. And I started reading books. One of my first and favorite books was Wallace Waddell's The Science of Getting Rich, which is a book that was published in 1911, but it's been kind of the mentoring book for many people, including Napoleon Hill and Earl Nightingale and the Rhonda who did The Secret. That was her inspiration, was that book. So I knew that there was something that I needed to get that I wasn't getting. And what I finally realized was that my relationship with money was not only broken, but I really hated money.
Wow.
I hated it. Yeah.
And when, you know, when people say the H word, that's like a tip off for me. You know, people, it's a word that people will, some people use pretty freely, but most people don't. So when someone says to you, I hate such and such, it's like big neon flipping, blinking sign that says, ooh, there's something here to be looked at.
Right. And it took a long time for me to really admit that that's how intense the emotion was. You know, because the money, it was always too hard to get and too hard to keep. So once I realized that, then I thought, okay, so we're going to really conquer this once and for all. And so in addition to studying books and tapes and things about money principles and law of attraction, I also started reading books about money management. Because I realized that the universe isn't going to give me any money unless I learn how to use it properly. And, you know, we all waste money. So I took a look at, you know, what exactly was I doing with money? Well, one thing was that I had my dream house, but it was costing me a lot of money. And I really wanted to keep that house. So what was I going to do? You know, there was a big dilemma there. And
did you look at why you wanted to keep the house? What it symbolized for you?
Well, you know, it symbolized my new life for one thing, but it also gave me a lot of bliss. And so I just felt like, oh, you know, this is what I've always wanted. I always wanted to live in the woods. It was a sort of like a large cabin in the woods. It was a real artsy place. It was designed by an architect for himself, and then he sold it to me. And so I just loved it there. It was quiet. I could be by myself a lot and enjoy nature, because that was, you know, another big love of mine. So what happened was I said, you know, something has to change here. So being in this community here, they have from time to time meditation retreats, and so I decided to go on one, and lasted for several months. And at the end of that time, I knew that I had to sell the house, and that was going to, you know, solve a lot of the money issues and also really help clean up the money management issues. And I was kind of afraid to come home and tell my husband that, because being a certified arborist by profession, of course, he loved living in the trees too. And it was, you know, a place that backed to 60 acres of solid woods. So it was, you know, quite a big deal to give up that house. But I came home and told him that, you know, I think we should sell the house. And I'm waiting for the eruption. And he says, oh, thank God. I thought you'd never come to that.
Oh, I'm going to stop you there for a second. So doesn't that so often happen in our lives, that we have something that we really feel we should do, but we tell ourselves we can't do it because of someone else or something else, you know, and we're convinced that it's going to be a problem. And then lo and behold, we find that we were the last one to get the memo. You know, the universe has been sending the memo, but we were the last one to read the memo. And so how wonderful is that, that he had come to that conclusion on his own, but he, it sounds like, was reluctant to suggest it to you as well.
Right. Yep, that's right. So, yeah, so he had his reasons for why he wanted to move closer into town. We were about 7 miles out of town also, so that was the issue for him, was that it was just too far away him being, he actually grew up in Washington, D.C., so he was a city person, it's and kinda, was like, okay, that's enough of the country life.
But it's kind of funny. It's kind of funny, you know, for those of us who have lived in big cities. I lived in Arlington, Virginia, which is a suburb of Washington, D.C., for many years. And, you know, 7 miles away is like being right on top of it. You know, you don't think of that as far. Right. He wanted to be walking distance, I take it.
Well, he just didn't want to have to drive in every morning. You know, if we forget something, that's a half an hour of our time to run back to the house.
Yeah.
So we found a house at the edge of town, which was much less expensive, and it's a mile from town. So we're still kind of out in the country. There's a farm across the street. But we're... You know, it only takes 5 minutes to get into town.
Yeah.
So that was the first big thing, was deciding to sell the house, which actually took about a year. So during that year, I started learning how to change my energy patterns, and I started manifesting little desires. It started with selling a small painting. And that was a big turning point for me, because I had heard that someone wanted to buy a painting, and so I went to meet him, and I had paintings all different sizes, but I was hoping, oh, I hope it's a $500 painting. You know, I really need that much money right now. And so I get there, and he wanted the smallest painting, which was a $100 painting. And I had a split second, and I noticed the shift in my brain going from the old habit of saying, being disappointed, and I just saw my mind just stop immediately and shift to, oh, this is so great. I sold $100 painting.
Yeah. And I'm going to stop there and interject a little bit, because gratitude, and I've talked about this on many shows, so those who listen to me regularly will not be surprised. So I say gratitude for universal abundance fosters effortless, generous, gracious flow, filled with faith, hope, prosperity, peace, and joy. And that gratitude for all of it, nothing is too small to be grateful for. And that we essentially, when we're just constantly fostering that attitude of gratitude, we are holding the gates wide open for things to flow through. But when things come that we think are too small, or, oh, by the way, not what we had in mind, and resistance comes up, now we're immediately blocking flow. So really nothing else can get through anyway. And oh, by the way, what we got, we're not appreciating it. And so then now we're back in that place of needing to understand our relationship and get ourselves clear again. So there you are. A big shift had already happened for you, because now the moment you started with resentment, you noticed it and you knew how to shift yourself to gratitude. So what happened? You sold the $100 painting. Being grateful that you did, and
then I was taking a class, and we were supposed to send in our successes. So I sent that in as my success, and I won the prize, which was a home study course on your relationship with money that I had really wanted to buy but couldn't afford it. So that was the second thing that happened.
So the energy fostered attracted like energy. It helped attract to you what you were looking for.
Yes. And all that gratitude worked. And then a month or two later, I ended up selling a $1,000 painting.
Wow. So a factor of 10 there. I was a math major. I can do that math. Now we've added a zero to the end.
Yes.
Which is, and that must have felt amazing.
Yeah. Because that was just sort of something that happened, that I just, put out something, you know, hoping that maybe I'd get something back, and that's what happened. So
along the way, I'm pretty confident, even if we can't sit here and enumerate all of them, that lots of stuff began to flow to you. Wouldn't always look like money in its direct form, but lots of things in terms of relationships and ideas and your own feelings about things were starting to flow to you in ways that were really going to foster you moving into, you know, this next phase. So I know that one of the things that happened, and you mentioned that it took a year to sell the house. Now, I also find that very interesting, because during that year period from knowing you and hearing your story even today, I know that part of what was happening is that was the year of incubation you needed to give yourself a chance to start shifting the various relationships and ideas and behaviors and things that had been blocking you so that when the house sold, you would already have all the optimal behaviors, many of the optimal behaviors in place so that you'd know how to make, you know, have the best discernment, not fueled by fear, but fueled by love and gratitude, to know how to make the best decisions about where to move and how to use the money and what, how to invest the money, you know, because the new house costs less, and how to work through all of that. So that year gave you time to get all that in place.
Yes. And everything started improving very gradually, but steadily. And when the house did sell, we didn't really make any money on it. But right at that point, right after that happened, I received an unexpected inheritance. And that was sort of the culmination of all that work. And also at that point, I knew exactly what I should do with the money to invest it wisely.
Yeah. So add another zero, and away she goes again. So look at that. It's like the universe trusts you with $100, the universe trusts you with $1,000, the universe trusts you with $10,000, the universe trusts you with $100,000, the universe, you know, it just keeps growing as you show yourself to be a discerning and responsible steward. So what happened with that? What'd you do with the inheritance?
Well, I paid cash for the new house, and we bought a rental property.
Mm.
So that we would have some income, you know, some other kind of income. And, you know, diversifying so that we wouldn't be relying on, you know, one income, which, you know, my husband had his tree work business. And I was still struggling trying to get a business of mine off the ground. But now we had some relief, you know, of passive income. So that was right about that time was when I started looking into, you know, what I wanted to do career-wise. I had designed this set of flashcards while I was doing the graphic art, deciding that I really was my own best client. I still didn't like working for other people, even as a graphic or web designer.
Well, and what you did with these, so these are sort of, if you've ever bought meditation cards, listeners, or things that have, you know, by authors that you really like, and they'll have like individual cards that you can use as a meditation device, or that Jeanette created a series of cards, and you created a series of cards, as I understand, from the Wallace Waddell teachings in The Science of Getting Rich.
Yes, because that book was in public domain.
So you could use the content legally, yeah, with no issue, complications of copyright and other things.
Mm-hmm. And so I did my own graphics, used my own photos, took pictures of beautiful gardens in our town and other things, and made these cards. And then I realized that I really knew very little about marketing online. So I hired a coach to help me market these cards. And what he said was, you need to have something more than just the cards. It's not enough. You know, you're not going to make much money at it. What you need to do is have a home study course to go along with that. And I said, well, I mean, you know, I don't really know that much. He says, well, you read the book, you know, do a home study course on the book, The Science of Getting Rich. So I thought, well, okay, I guess I could do that. And it ended up taking me about 9 months to put this home study course together. But, you know, this is what the guy said to do, and I was paying him, so, and he was really helping me with it. So I ended up with this home study course, which he helped me launch, and it did not very well at all, but I had this home study course, you know, this great product. So that was, you know, a good experience, and I learned a lot about marketing. And that's when I thought, you know, I need to hire a coach to help me decide what to do next. And I'd rather have someone with just a different style of coaching than this first person. So
that's a perfect place to stop you. And when we come back, I want to say a little bit about what I perceive in the whole creating the cards in the home study course, and then we're going to go on with more. But right now, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back in 2 minutes.
Change your world. Change your life. VoiceAmericaEmpowerment.com.
Inspired by today's show? Visit Deborah at djwlifecoach.com and click on the current offers tab to access her proven life coaching programs and tools. Everything from her signature workbooks and videos to entertaining and inspiring blogs and newsletters. You'll even have the opportunity to sign up for a 60-minute complimentary coaching session. If someone offered you a precious gift for an hour of your time, would you be interested? That's what Deborah offers in a comp session. It isn't a brief demo or sample. It's a full 45-minute coaching session focused on your current real-life challenges, plus 15 minutes to discuss any questions you may have about her approach. Those who've experienced Deborah's comp sessions will tell you that when you show up fully committed to your own growth and open to the possibilities for transformation, big breakthroughs happen. What have you got to lose other than your fears and limiting beliefs? Visit the current offers tab on djwlifecoach.com. Choose your energy and change your life.
Success starts here. VoiceAmericaEmpowerment.com. It's your world.
You are listening to Choose Your Energy, Change Your Life with Deborah Jane Wells. If you have a question or comment for the program today, please call us toll-free at 888-346-9141. That's 888-346-9141. Or you may send an email to Deborah at djwlifecoach.com. Now, back to Choose Your Energy, Change Your Life.
Hi, Deborah here. Welcome back to our show with my guest, Jeanette Cazella. In the first two segments, Jeanette and I examined the transformative power of choosing love as your core fuel to get off the hamster wheel and create a life of flow. Jeanette talked from her own experience about how she has built a life of flow for herself, the ups and downs she had in terms of relationships with people and with money, and how she worked to transform those. And as we go into this final segment of the show, we're going to pick up where we left off. I'm going to make a few observations about the flashcards and the home study course, and then Jeanette's going to take us on in further to see where that journey and transformation led her. So one of the things that's really interesting about Jeanette's experience with reading the book, The Science of Getting Rich, and then the work she did around transforming, understanding she had relationship issues with money, transforming them, seeing things start to flow, still looking to figure out how to make a business out of all of this, and creating the flashcards and the home study course. So I would tell you that it was never really about whether Jeanette would make money with the flashcards and home study course. In my experience of my clients and many, many people I know, that when we're trying to make a major shift in our own consciousness, that often the best way to do that is to teach it to someone else, is to find a way to package it, teach it, sell it to others. Because in the process of doing that, it anchors the learnings in us in a much, much deeper way. So my example of that is when I retired, 80 pounds overweight, morbidly obese, utterly depressed for 10 years, and moved to Colorado and got the inkling to immerse myself in creativity, no real plan about a business at all initially, and discovered Julia Cameron's book, The Artist's Way, I started facilitating our creative discovery and recovery groups for others based on her book. And, I actually had from my career that I retired from, I had been a partner in four different management consulting firms, big, big global ones, where I had led organization transformation and training and development and human resource type consulting practices and done a lot of that kind of consulting. So I was well qualified to facilitate groups of learning. And so I took the gifts I knew the gifts I had worked with for so long. I didn't throw them out the window. I thought I was going to. If you'd told me what I was doing, I probably would have freaked out and run from it because I thought I was done with consulting. You know, I mean, consulting was the problem. It wasn't that I was responsible for what happened to me. Consulting, it was, you know, business was to blame. Ha. But so I took what I knew because I really was a consultant and a teacher and a coach at heart and began using it to help others understand the importance of creativity, and then in that way really, really anchored it in my own life. So back to Jeanette's story. Here she is. She's created the card. She's become a graphic, gotten all the graphic design experience, all the web design experience. Now she's using her artistic and creative skills to create these flashcards and extract the learnings from the book and to create a home study course. But the money side of that work still wasn't flowing quite the way she wanted it to. So she made the decision that she wanted to hire a spiritual coach to help her figure out what was still not quite right with things. And where did that go, Jeanette?
Well, where that went was that it made me realize that what I was preparing myself for was to be a coach myself, because that's really what the home study course was all about. It was about teaching people all the things that I had learned about money, including the stuff from Waddell's book, but also all the other things that I had done to improve my relationship with money. And then I remember, oh yeah, well, I used to teach art, and that I am a really good teacher, and that's really what coaching is it's teaching. So I took this course with the Spiritual Life Coach, which was also training and certification program to become a Spiritual Life Coach. And as soon as I started doing that, I thought, wow, this is what I really should be doing, because I can help people through this channel. Help all these people that were struggling with money the way I've been.
Well, and what you saw, and I want to create this, put this clarification in there. When you say that coaching is really teaching, the way I describe that is coaching is really expert guided self-discovery, because it's not teaching as in lecture. It's not teaching as in I'm going to tell you what you need to do with your life. That is the antithesis of coaching. Mm-hmm. But you had discovered that this passion you had and talent you had for being an expert who guides others in self-discovery and in learning, that you were, when you created that self-study course, that's why you needed to create the self-study course, because you were helping to get yourself more, even more aligned with that path.
Right. And I didn't want to be, you know, a teacher just teaching a class either. I wanted to be working with people and helping them with their individual situations. And that's more, you know, what the coaching was about. But it also had the spiritual aspect, which to me was the mindset that, you know, with everything that's going on, it's always something about the mindset. And so that's where the spiritual life coaching comes in.
So there you were. You had your new coach to work with. And while you were starting to build, once you understood about you were being called to be a coach, you in fact wrote a book.
Yes. So while I was getting my coaching business off the ground, I thought, oh, well, the best way to do that is to write a book, because they say that, you know, authors do better, you know, it'll look better. I'll have some credibility since I'm a new coach. And so I thought, well, I've already got this home study course. Why don't I just take the text from it and turn it into a book? Which still took about 6 months, but
that's pretty darn fast for a book. Darlene, speaking as one who is, you know, just sent, awaiting the final galleys to her book, and heads off to the printer, I can tell you 6 months to pull a book together, that's pretty darn good.
Yes. So I published my first book, Money Mindset Makeover, and had that, you know, to use as my credibility and sort of lead generator, and you know, at the same time, I was trying to get this coaching business off the ground, and I started seeing just all the problems involved in starting a coaching business, because even though I knew how to more about marketing online, there still was more to learn, and I saw that the coaches that I had met in my classes, they were having the same problems. You know, how do you get clients? How do you get visibility? How do you, you know, find communities to join that will be supportive? And so I took a second coaching course in marketing for coaches. It was by a coach, and to try to learn more about just marketing a coaching business. And that coach really was encouraging me to think bigger. And that's when I came up with the idea, oh, well, maybe I should be, maybe I should on the side again, create a little a business to that is helping coaches. And what I had in mind was a directory, because I was looking for a directory for myself to participate in. And I didn't really see anything that was my idea of what I was looking for. And the other thing was that I wanted to belong to a professional organization. And I, again, I didn't find anything that fit the bill for that either. And I knew that there were other fellow coaches that felt the same way.
Yeah, one of the challenges, and you know, this is true in many professions, is when you're first starting out, even if you're incredibly skilled and talented, it can take a while to get the credentials. And normally it's the number of hours you have coaching, you know, like in the case of coaching it is. And so in the interim, there's this period of time where you really would benefit from being able to band together with others who are doing what you're doing. But until you've gotten the threshold of the credentialing for some of these larger bodies, you're sort of, it's a catch 22.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what you and your fellow coaches who were going through programs together were discovering. So what did you decide to do about that?
Well, I was a web designer and a creative person. So I thought, well, I've created all my own jobs up to now. I'll just create another one and form an association for life coaches. So that's what I did. Made another website for that. And I did a little research on it, you know, asking like people in my LinkedIn groups, you know, do you think this is a good idea? Would you join? That kind of thing. What do you think we need here? And so after doing the research and deciding that's what I should do, then I formed this association. And the idea was to give them a directory so that they people could find them, and also to have it be a professional organization so they'd have credibility. So, of course, being a graphic designer, I got to design the badge for the association. And then I started seeing that they also needed business skills, and so I added classes that were taught by some of the members, actually, including myself, but just to help give them business skills, because even though they were great coaches, they didn't necessarily know how to run a business. And meanwhile, I had coaches along the way too, and each one of them had said to me, have you thought of doing this association full time? And each time I said, well, no, because I want to be a coach, and I have to be a coach if I'm running a coaches association, right? And so, you know, I sort of discarded that as, well, it's kind of a silly thing to think about. Anyway, after the third one asking me about this and giving me the best reasons so far, I thought, maybe I should just try it.
Yeah, three,
of course,
three people show up with the same idea. There's something here that bears looking at.
Yes, especially when my husband was the first one who told me that, like a year before that.
It's always maddening when they figure it out first, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
So the International Association of Professional Life Coaches was born. And along the way, you realized, again, see, I see the journey. And it's the paying attention to your own callings and then realizing that when you felt a need for this association, and you also perceived a need for the support for others to have in their lives, to actually honor those urges and honor those needs and then say, well, instead of sitting here and whining and complaining that we can't find what we want, it's like, okay, I am response-able. I am responsible for my life. So what can I do? You know, there's a reason why it's occurred to me that there's this need. Maybe it's because I'm supposed to do something to help fill it. Okay, universe, show me what to do. And the first thing was to create the organization with the idea that there'd be a directory. And then it was, and oh, by the way, there's an opportunity to use those coaching skills. You know, when you say, oh, I can't run a coaching association if I don't coach, I would say, no, you are a coach. You just had an idea about what that would look like, what form it would take, because you are no less. I've worked with you. You know, I've taught master classes with Jeanette. I am on her board of advisors now. And, you know, I can tell you, she's a coach, no question about it. But she had an idea of what that was supposed to look like based on what other people told her about what it was supposed to look like. You know, this is what it's supposed to look like, Jeanette, when you're a coach. And but what she did over time is eventually she paid attention and she listened and she created her own authentic version of what it was going to look like for her. And now she did a group book with the group. So now she helped them get published on top of it. We've got just a couple minutes left here. So talk about the group real quickly, Jeanette, in terms of the group book and the next one
yes.
coming up.
So when I went full time, that's the first project I tackled was, these people need to become published authors too. Let's just do a group book. And so I organized all that and put it together, and we published our first book. It was called How to Create a Rich, Successful, and Fulfilling Life, Dynamic Tools for Overcoming Obstacles and Creating Rapid Transformation. kind of a long title. But
And now you have a second book in the works.
Yes. So this is a year later, and now we're starting our second book, which is called Successful Transformation. Decided to go with a short title this time. And it's about the coaches are all contributing stories and chapters on the transformation that they make for their clients. So that's going to be coming out in June. And then we also do telesummits for the members so that they have speaking opportunities also.
So a telesummit is when a whole bunch of coaches band together and over some period of time. So hypothetically, they'd say, okay, over this next week period, three times a day, you know, different coaches are going to offer different programs via teleseminar or webinar, and people are going to subscribe to it. And you can, sometimes they do them where you can listen for free, but if you want the recordings to listen at your leisure, there's a fee to pay to get the recordings, and each of the coaches can offer various giveaways and tools and whatever. So yes, you just kept letting the idea grow, and the second book is coming out. And actually I have a chapter in the book, which will tell my own story of transformation. And so will a bunch of other coaches.
Yes. And the other interesting thing that happened on top of this is that someone out of the blue emailed me from Spain and said, I've gotten so much out of your Money Mindset Makeover book. My finances have improved so much. May I translate it for you into Spanish? And so she's been working on that for the past year, and we're getting ready to launch that also.
So Jeanette's book, Money Mindset Makeover, is available on Amazon, and it will be coming in Spanish soon. And believe it or not, that hour went quickly once again. That brings us to the end of our show. This is Deborah Jane Wells signing off for now. Tune in again next week when I'll be joined by transformational catalyst, spiritual guide, and award-winning author Christine Closer for an episode entitled The Power of Your Story, Becoming a Transformational Author. Many thanks to my guest today, Jeanette Cazella, and to my incredible Voice America production team that keeps me on track and makes this show possible. When you explore my Voice America host page, you'll find more information about upcoming episodes and the nature of life coaching, with opportunities to listen to recordings of past episodes, subscribe to my blog and other social media feeds, and sign up for special offers to guide you on your journey to wholeness, including a 60-minute complimentary coaching session. Remember, when you fall in love with yourself, everything else falls into place, personally and professionally. You are loved and loving, blessed and a blessing. And so it is. Namaste.
Thanks again for listening to Choose Your Energy, Change Your Life. please rejoin your host, Deborah Jane Wells, again next Wednesday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time, 10 a.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Empowerment Channel. It's time to get off that hamster wheel and start fulfilling your destiny by creating a life you love.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program brought to you on the Voice America Empowerment Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit VoiceAmericaEmpowerment.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit VoiceAmerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.